Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What can we give him to who created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, all we can give you to offer unto you praises. He that faces me glorifies me. And to him that ordereth his conversation alive, will I show the salvation of God. We thank you, Father. Created to worship you. That's our primary own of God, duty to the living God. And to have eternal fellowship with you. We thank you for our gathering together unto you this morning. Unto you shall the gathering of thy people be anywhere in the world. You are the word of God. We understand through faith. The words were framed by the word of God. Blessed be his holy name. So as we read this morning, Lord, we just trust you holy, Lord, oh Father, to help us to give understanding of the word. That we go here, Lord, not as hearer only, but as doers of the word, to the glory of thy name.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Our sister testifying of last Sunday's service. And, you know, I will take it from there by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Actually, it's a service that I couldn't finish it all. So this morning, I want to give a part two of walking with God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So for those who may not be here last Sunday, I will just paraphrase what we talked about. So we knew in the Bible that Enoch was the fourth man in the Bible that was said to have walked with God, right, in the Bible. That is in Genesis 5:23. Not much was said about him, but what was said about him is so profound. He was a prophet too, praise the Lord. The prophet of the antediluvians, the prophesied, the Bible says in the book of Jude, he prophesied the Lord coming with thousands and thousands of his saints, right? So anyway, so he was mentioned first in Genesis 5:23 for the benefit of those who know here, and then for me to join to part two of this. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Then in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. So by this, this man escaped the judgment of the flood. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And last Sunday we mentioned that this has a precedence actually to the end time saints. You know, he prophesied by the saints of God too in the book of Jude. Anyway, so this man, you know, escaped the judgment of the flood. You know, he was gone. God translated him, and they didn't have to face, you know, that, you know, calamity and so forth. So, judgment, you know, the great tribulation and so forth, you know, coming at the end of the age and so on, like I said, it type the elect of the end time. Oh, you know, some Christian will be translated this age without seeing death, amen? Praise the Lord. Bible says, we shall show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, amen? 1 Corinthians 15:53, I believe that's why it is. Praise the Lord. Some people don't believe this, but it doesn't matter to Enoch. You know, he was translated anyway, praise God.
Amen.
There is a translation, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bible says so, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we are living in that age right now. The Lord Jesus told us in Luke 21, this generation that see Israel having been dispersed for the last time, come back again, that generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. 24 of Matthew and then of 21 of Luke. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There come a translation and also Enoch type that and so forth. Now we talk about Noah also, another one that was explicitly said to have walked with God. He was a great grandson of Enoch, by the way. Enoch begot Methuselah, the longest living man upon the face of the earth, 969 years old, amen. And that is even fulfilling prophecy in itself. He already told Adam and Eve that, the day you break this law I gave you, that day you will die. That was he told Adam and Eve in the beginning, right? Praise the Lord. And, true enough, and so when so there are two deaths, right? That's a spiritual death and a physical death. Praise God. When they disobey God, they die spiritually that day. Praise the Lord. What spiritual death? That is, you are cut off communicating with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And did they die physically that day? Not really. But within one day of God's measurement of time, He has different scale of measuring time. Amen? For different purposes. Praise the Lord. In one place, you could say 1 week, can make 7 years. That's prophecy. That praise God. So He has, you see, just to death time, and put in complete confusion, you know, about his future plan. Praise the Lord. So he has different time measures and so forth. So he said, the day you know, you take the decision, you are going to die. Truly enough, no. Bible says, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 with the Lord is 100, right? So nobody ever lives up to 1,000 years, you know. Physically, that takes the toll. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we see, like I say, that this Noah, like I said before, was the great-grandson of Enoch. Enoch begot Methuselah, Methuselah begot Lamech, and then Noah. So, and we read about Noah in Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 says, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. See? The 2 minutes were explicit that you have worked with God and so forth. And the 2 Peter 2:5, it was him too. And the many gods fear not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Hebrews didn't escape him. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear, prepare an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. This generation will be inducted when the rapture takes place. Amen. Mm-hmm. Even some Christians, we say there's no rapture, they will be inducted. You know, Noah condemned them by his faith, right? This generation will be condemned. Where you hear, where we'll be looking from above, you know, CNN news and so on, breaking news. Many, many are missing and so on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he condemned them, that's written by his faith. There's a group of Christians who condemn this present world as the transition takes place. We are living in that era of time. The day and the hour we don't know, amen?
Amen.
But I would say we shall know the season, and we know we are that season. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we also talk about Abraham. He gave paraphrasing and so on like that, you know. Even though was not explicitly said to have walked with God, but he met what we define to be the real meaning of walking with God. If you remember it, I said that walking with God is you spending time with Him day by day. Amen. You spend time with God day by day, and then also not only, you listen to Him. We are used to talking in prayer. Prayer is good, right? Take time. Meditate upon the word of God, amen? When you hear it, praise the Lord. Let's be like the Bereans, amen? Praise the Lord. The Bereans, that had the gospel preached and so on, they will go back and see if these things are really so, amen? I mean, the church world today, whatever the pastor said, that's it and so on, they will go back to go and check in the scripture whether these things are true and so on, that you know. And then also, do you listen to God? You obey Him. Praise the Lord. That's walking with God, not just walking physically and so on. You spend time day by day with God. Then number two, you listen to His word. Number three, you obey His word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I don't think we can say that too much enough and so forth. It's beneficial and so forth, that you know. So anyway, here is what He said about Abraham. He qualified for all those things, you know. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obey. That obedience, yeah. You wait on God, right? You know, you spend time with God, you listen to Him, then you obey Him. Praise the Lord. That working with God, right? You know, so he obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. We don't go by sight, we go by faith, amen? Praise the Lord. Even Abraham exhibited that particular thing. He didn't walk by sight, he didn't know where he was going, but God has spoken, amen? Praise the Lord. and you obey God. That's all we need. God spoke it, that's all I need. Amen. I don't want to walk by senses and so on, that, so we see him right there. You know, he went by faith and so on, that, in that place and so on, that, Anyway, so we saw this man, whose life was dedicated, meaning Abraham, to prayer. It seems that everywhere Abraham went, Abraham was always praying, building an altar to the Lord, according to the way God worked in that day and so on, that, to the name of the Lord and so on. We saw how he handled the, the strife between his half-men and those of his nephew Lot. I won't go over that again. Supernatural eyesight was with him. Praise the Lord. Had supernatural eyesight and so on, that, Anyway, so I won't go over that one because we know how he did that and so on, that, So this man, because he was working with God, he saw visions of God. God revealed events of the near future to him and events of the far future. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He saw God appear to him in the human form two times. Genesis 14, coming from the defeat of those armies and so on, that in Sodom and so on. It's called Melchizedek. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who can he be but God, having no father, no mother, nor the beginning or ending of day. Amen. Which man qualified for that? I don't know if any man qualified for that. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6 and 7 even said us further about Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. See, he was God, Christ, Melchizedek. Theophany. Two times in Genesis 14, Genesis 18, and so on. God appeared to him again because he was working with God. And since his call, he was working with God since his call. God appeared in Genesis 18 and so forth in the company of two angels. So you see, so anyway, blessings of, and you know what? Again, another thing is this. Enoch escaped the flood. Noah was preserved from the flood, was protected, right? Abraham didn't even go to Sodom at all, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Abraham was out of Sodom and so on, but he has a nephew who was signed day and night anyway about the abomination done in the land, right? Meaning Lot and so forth. He was also spared from the destruction, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But Abraham wasn't even at Sodom at all. Praise the Lord Jesus. He has supernatural eyesight, not to be in Sodom at all. So we see that one there. So the subject of working with God, we probably take in all those mentioned in Hebrews 11. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can see them one by one, each of them and so on. Then it takes us months, to talk about working with God, right? So because of why they were there, that both women and men who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, we can see them one by one, and we spend months. So this morning, I just want to put a part two there. I want to pick another two people in the Bible. Let us go through the book of Hebrews, two other people that were implicitly, said to have worked with God. And the pattern holds throughout the Bible, All that work with God, the pattern holds, we can't say it enough. We're going to pick two people in the Bible this morning, and I'm going to try to make it to be short, who also walk with God. Like I said, you can go to the book of 11 of Hebrews, and you can spend months doing that. So this morning, Jacob, another one this morning, walking with God, part two, praise the Lord.
Okay? Yeah.
Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, as you all know in the Bible, all Bible readers know that, right? Jacob started out life struggling with the flesh and blood and ended up life having prevailed with men and with God. His life started out as a mortal struggle against his own twin brother called Esau. Genesis 25:21 begins to read from there. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. She was a godly woman too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woman of faith too, inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, you see, God will speak to anybody Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If anybody draws near unto him, praise the Lord. Whether woman or man, doesn't make a difference. Praise God. In any dispensation, really, you know, anyway. So, and the Lord said unto her, two nations, sir, are in thy womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stranger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. So go the story and so forth. The word translated as struggled, actually it means much more than the English can render to us in meaning. It means to crack in pieces, either literally or figuratively, to break, to bruise, and to crush or even oppress. That's what that word means, like struggled and so forth. You know. Rebecca's sons were not just struggling. They were in an all-out, knockdown, drag-out fight, you know. But their fight was not one that will end quickly. As Rebecca went to give birth, the fight was still going on. Jacob comes out with his hand holding onto his brother's heel, refusing to give up the fight. Amen. He was struggling in the womb, even as they were coming out, he didn't let his go of his hand. Praise the Lord. So anyway, what I'm saying, Genesis 25, verse 24. And when our days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in our womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and he called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's learn some lesson from him now. Anyway, but Jacob's perseverance earned him a less than honorable name, actually. Why? They named him Jacob, which means heel kasha. Kali, heel of his, that is the meaning of Jacob, actually. Heel kasha. Praise the Lord. I mean, not jokingly. Heel kasha. You know, imagine being stuck with such a name all your life, where you go, and people know that you name that way because you are a heel kasha to your brother. Praise the Lord. Now, what Jacob had to endure most of his other part of his life. You know, as well as you know. Anyway, and so the name, in larger part, proved true for the early part of Jacob's life, actually proved true. He convinced his brother Esau, in a moment of weakness, to sell his birthright to him for the price of a bowl of lentils. I like that lentils a lot. Praise the Lord. I cook it almost every other week. Praise the Lord. But not the way that that this man was doing that anyway. So Esau got Esau got his nickname, which is Edom. If you know the Bible enough, amen. Edom come from the color of lentils. Actually, being red lentils, that's what it come from. That Edom come from the color of lentils. Praise the Lord. And that is his nickname, Edom. Another name for, you know, for Esau and so on like that, you know. Anyway, Genesis 25:29 says this, what I'm saying here. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. For I am faint, he said. Therefore was his name called Edom. Amen. Mm. I wasn't making it up. Praise the Lord, the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So anyway, and Jacob said, tell me this day that passed right. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of, you know, to die. And what profit, he said, shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him And he said, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rise up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a tragedy. Praise the Lord. So here, let's say a little bit about this. Here it is a vital, here is a vital difference between Jacob and Esau, really. Mm-hmm. Esau was an half-minded man. Since the birthright was a spiritual matter, you know, he could not see that at all. It was a carnal man, really, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he couldn't see what it really meant and so on. You know, you couldn't see the value of the birthright at all. As the firstborn, here is the thing, as the firstborn, he should inherit the priestly rights of the family. He was a direct line to inherit the promises given to Abraham. That is because he was the firstborn, right? You know, he couldn't defend that. But the value of these things has to be spiritually discerned. The natural man does not decide the things that be of God, right? Mm-hmm. They are foolishness to him, right? So was the nation of Esau. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But not Jacob, you know, even though it had a rough beginning, you know, talking much about him, that is the subject here, this money and so on, Jacob and so on. You know. So anyway, on the other hand, you know, Jacob, even although as Cana, as a believer at the beginning, you know, he realizes that it had a value, a great value, the birthright, you know. He got a desire it at all. He did not get the birthright because he actually deserved it. He got it because he so despised it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me see here what Hebrews said about this man Esau, you know, just as a diversion. Hebrews 12:16-17. Let there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a tragedy that was, and so, you know, for a morsel of bread and so on, that, you know, lost a lot and so on. Now, what is it now? Jacob and so on, it was predestination. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It was predestination that making to, you know, to ask, you know, that was upon his life and so on. You know, predestination played a great role in Jacob's life. And the type of Christian in any way, like Abraham came from the, you know, from the house, I mean, Terah was an idol worshiper, you know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that, yes, where God called out Abraham from. It's not by the work that the Christian life, we're not saved by our works, amen? It's by grace that we are saved. Praise the Lord. So this man, Jacob, the destination was upon his side. At one scripture, the Bible said that, Esau are hated, but Jacob have loved, amen? Praise, that's the destination, praise the Lord. And you as a Christian, it's not the day you come to the altar that God saved you. We were called in Christ before the foundation of the world, amen?
Amen.
Predestination, praise the Lord. So it was a type of the elect in that way, even like Abraham was a type of the elect, you know, and so like that, you know. So you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You are with him. Job said, when the mornings are stand together,
amen,
and the sons of God shouted for joy with God. Amen. You won't know it now, no more than you know yourself, when you are in your father's loins, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You won't remember it now until we are changed again. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, so you are from your father's loins. Didn't know it at that time. I didn't know it. So anyway, we are within when the morning stars stand together. And the sons of God shouted for joy. How we should treasure our salvation and our redemption in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You are not ordinary people as a Christian. You are a peculiar people.
Amen.
You are the royal priesthood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation 1. When he wrote from the dead and so on, appeared to to John, book of Revelation, the Bible says, unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us to be kings and priests unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Far above the, thank God for the cleansing of sin. That is just the beginning. Amen. We are kings and priests unto God. Peter said we are a peculiar people. We are the royal priesthood. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, walk kingly. Amen. Walk kingly upon this earth. The world to come belong unto. Even now, the God of this world has no power over you and I. If you know your life in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, the God of this world. But Adam's lease will soon expire on him, amen?
Amen?
On Adam. But even now, we are not under his domain.
Amen.
No, if you know our life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, so let's quickly move from this one and some of that. You know? So anyway, so in addition, Jacob, the heel grabber, used to be disputed himself to receive the blessing that was intended for his brother. Genesis 27:21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, you know, come near. You know the story, I just prophesied this one. You know the story and so on. Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. You know, Rebecca has the mind of God. So you know how God said, Esau have I hated, and, you know, and I love Jacob. Do you know that, you know, even Isaac loved Esau. Is that right in the Bible?
Yeah.
Rebecca loved Jacob. Praise the Lord. So you see how in this story, how Rebecca played out, he knew that Isaac was soon passed on, right? You know, and he knew the particular blessing, we have to go to Israel, right? He overheard, you know, when Isaac said, go and do this, you know, go and kill the best, whatever you can. You know, he was a hunter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then bring it to me and so forth. And, you know, and then, so Rebecca overheard it. So he quickly called Jacob, you know. You know what? He took a quickly a goat and you know and whatever it is and so on and killed it, right? And you know, and Jacob, but if I, you know, if I go and get my father this this meat and so on, he knew that Jacob was a hairy person. Sorry, Jacob was a hairy person. Rebecca, you don't worry about it. I take care of it, amen. Praise the Lord, I take care of business, you know, you know. I kill the goat and so on, wrap the skin around the you know Jacob's hand and so on. I know Papa Isaac was blind, you see what I'm saying? He couldn't see, you know, and if the thing worked properly and so forth, you know. And then so here, so he went in, oh, where Esau came back? Ah, I mean, where Jacob brought that, you know, meat and so on. Oh, Esau, how do you come so quickly and so on like that, you know? Oh, you know, Jacob said that because I don't know how he gave one excuse and so on like that. God will visit me and so on like that, you know. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so in 27 or 22, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he fed him, and said, the voice is a Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Amen. You know, and he discerned him because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands, his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Anyway, short story, short and so on. That, you know. So, but after his father's death and so on, so he had to run away from home because Esau went to revenge. Anyway, he already took a wife. You know, that kind of time. But Rebecca arranged to Jacob to go to his uncle, to his brother, right? Laban. Praise the Lord. So that's a long story. I'm just, you know, cutting them short here and so on that, you know. So anyway, so Jacob had to go to Haran in today's Syria. Haran is today's Syria. If you know geography between and so on that, you know. Anyway, you know, to seek a wife from the family of his mother, whose name, brother, Laban, and so on. Know the story. It's on the way there that Jacob had what we might call today a salvation moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. While running away from, you know, predestination, running away from Esau, his brother, and so on, that you know, and he had what you call salvation moment, you know, in our modern, you know, language and so on. So Jacob fell asleep and had a dream. Genesis 28:12. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, the Lord said, and so on. And this is the beginning of a long and incredible transformation, of the hill Kasha. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change as well as that, begin to come to him and all. His story and his journey are inspirational to us because Jacob is more like I said before, a type of the elect, like to us, than many of the other, heroes of the Bible, actually. He was a petty man to begin with, who was looking out for number one, wants to be number one in everything, right? Like any ordinary man, right? That's how he began, right? When the transformation of his life began here, he started to see with supernatural eyesight into the deep things of God. And his entire life transformed to the point that for the rest of his time, the people of God will be called by his name. Amen?
Amen.
Predestination. Nothing to do with his name. Praise the Lord. No? Nothing to do with that. Just like Abraham had nothing to do with his calling of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. You and I have nothing to do with our calling. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Only for them. Death is also predestinated, right? And I predestinated you, he called you, amen, justify you and glorify you. Romans 8. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, the Bible is so sweet and so on. This journey, yes, tests and trials, but the surface of the present time is nothing to be compared with the glory that will be in you and I. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us march on as brave soldiers of the cross, amen. And we are not alone. The captain of the host is with you and I. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And with you always said to the end of the age. The Lord said and so on. So we see. How this dream and so on. Let me see how I am here. So from the time, that time on, his life changed and so on. Jacob, make a vow to God. Genesis 28:20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, he said. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. Amen.
Amen.
He learned something from his grandfather Abraham, coming for the spoil of the army and so on. He gave the tenth of all. Praise the Lord. Tithing is not only the Old Testament; it's also the New Testament. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it's 6 or 7. He received them. He said, "Dear men that died, right? They received tithes." But here he received them, of whom it is written that he liveth, amen. And Jesus said, and he that liveth and was dead, behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen. Tithing is not in the testament alone. Well, do it and pray and see for yourself and so on. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and so on. Bring all the tithes, by which and so on, and prove me now herewith. And that's why many Christians are failing today and so on. They want prosperity. They don't want to follow the Bible, right? Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse and prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing that you will not have the room to receive. I will even rebuild the deliverer for yourself. There are many things God asks you and I to do. When you come to the tithing, God says, I myself will rebuild the deliverer. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe, you say amen, amen.
Amen.
And go and live by it, you are not doing by now. Pray, see the Lord. That's all about, that's a digression, right? But that is the word of God too. Praise the Lord. So, Jacob saying that, and of course, look at his life. He lived it out, I believe, as I'm going to see down the road and so on. Working with God, right? He has learned from Abraham, I believe. He didn't say it, I believe it. The first precedent of tithing was for Father Abraham, right? So we have learned it from. Oh, I know Abraham. I know he will teach his children the ways of the Lord, amen? God, testimony of Abraham. See, I know Abraham. That's Sunday, right? I know Abraham. He will teach his children my way. Of course, he was a grandson, right? But he learned something from that, you know, praise to the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so we see right here. And, you know, so this is the same sort of thing that happened to Abraham, you know. And Jacob had the promise and the call of God, right? He believed it, God's word, and he acted on the calling. It's a fundamental mind marker in the life of any person at all of faith. We must hear the call of God, you know, we must believe it, and we must act on it. This constitutes walking with God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I just intentionally begin to repeat that so we don't miss it at all, you know. So, and immediately Jacob's character began to change. Instead of a heel grabber or casher, he became a man of integrity. He went and kept his word even when his uncle dealt unrighteously with him. You know the story, Laban, his uncle, and so on. 10 times they changed his wages. Not increasing them, decreasing them, you know. Praise the Lord. But this man has changed after the encounter with God, right? You know, he told Laban, you know, when the animal took a lamb, I'm not able to report it to you when I come back, right? I was walking in the corridor, report it to you when they were going to depart, right? I've been changed, right? Praise the Lord. The grabber doesn't grab anymore. He was ready to know, as I'm going to see right now. When you walk with God, that's what happens to you. That happens to you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No need to grab anything. He knew God. God was going to bless him anyway, and something like that, you know. So we see. And so even in the bathhouse, he gets to behave himself and so on. You know, so, and you know what? The evil tricking. He loved Rachel, right? You know, and they play a game on him the night of the wedding. You see? You know what? Okay, we don't give the elder before the younger. Jacob didn't fight anything. Okay, I will do another week. We're 7 years, right? Talk about God's timing scale, right? You can use different time scales, right? So 1 week is 7 years. Praise the Lord. So he did it again, you know, and something like that, you know. He wasn't struggling anymore. I love this relationship and something like that, you know. Okay, don't give the elder before the younger. I mean, this is the one girl I love her. 7 more years, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He has mellowed down after he met God. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Working with God, right? You know, that the kind of thing, that transformation, you know, for your whole self, you know. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. 1 Corinthians 5:17. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen?
Amen.
God demonstrated even in the Old Testament. Don't forget, the Old Testament is the new concealed.
Amen.
And the New Testament is the old revealed. Praise the Lord. The same author, the Holy Ghost. We understand through faith that all scripture was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we see that there. So even the house of Laban, look at how he acted and so on, that, you know. So he was a changed man. And Jacob, who began out as a bad sort, this is what you call it, a bad sort, has matured to the point that he, like his grandfather Abraham, has supernatural eyesight into the promises of God. I understood that God has promised to bless him. And nothing can stop that blessing, amen? We should learn from their amen. God is going to bless you and I. Nothing can take away from us if we just have that kind of faith. That's not giving us faith of Jacob. Praise the Lord. Too many things to learn from, you know, this man of God called Jacob and so on and that, you know. So anyway, we see here. And so the bank will do almost anything. At the time when God now told him, start to go back to your father's land. No matter how he prayed, if you just give me bread to eat and a cloth upon my back and bring me in peace to my father's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the time has come now when God will answer that prayer, amen,
mm-hmm,
to bring him back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the man will do anything and so on that, not to keep Jacob in his household. And much like the king of Sodom, we had that Sunday, he offered to make Jacob rich by giving him an estate. But Jacob refused to be increased through the gift of a man. Genesis 30:31 says this. And he said, Laban said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou will do this thing for me, I will again feed and and keep thy flock. He said that, So he offered to take the spotted, speckled, and striped cattle and sheep, leaving the better cattle and sheep to Laban. That's what he did. Praise the Lord. Like how Abraham last week and so on, and Lot and the land and so on and that, he has encounter with God now. He's going to land. So anyway, Jacob didn't want any gift. He wanted to work hard for any good he received from any man. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Just like his grandfather, I won't take a lashes of shoe from you. I don't need any of this kind of war. Only what the men will eat who went to war with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let you say to make Abraham rich. Praise the Lord. See? Encountering with God and working with God. We make a man to be like that and so on. You fix your eyes on the promise of God alone. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man can pay you out. How many people are doing business together and they do each other life? Not with God, amen? Praise the Lord. God will fulfill his promises to you and so on. So anyway, so Jacob demonstrated that he, like Abraham, profoundly understood the nature of God's promise, or promises rather, to him. It wouldn't be by the hand of man at all that God blesses him with and so on. In 32nd verse of Genesis 30, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from them all the speckled and the spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and also shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me, he said, in time to come. When it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So anyway, I don't want to go more than that about that business deal and so on. He, like Abraham, was content to take the leftovers and give the better blessings to those around him, knowing that God will bring about his blessings in due time. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The God will not fail him. So indeed, at his departure from Laban, going back to Cana, as God commanded him and so on, you see obedience, right? No matter what he had in Aram, when God time is not to go back, he was ready to go back, amen? Praise the Lord. Ready to go back and so on, because he answered to his prayer, right? Anyway, even as he returned back, he demonstrated he had truly gained an incredible insight into the nature of God and his own role in God's plan and so on. God had commanded him to go, but now he feared his brother Esau, who years earlier had wanted him dead. So now, going back, he might face a battle and even death at the hand of Esau. And he, as Abraham before him, did not try to disguise his fear as he went before God in prayer. Remember last week and so on, Abraham was free to talk to God, right? Amen? He told him, how are you going to bring this thing to pass? And so on. He asked God questions. Amen? Praise the Lord. God doesn't want a one-way thing. Speak to him, your father. Amen? Praise the Lord. And don't play any kind of a language before him. Don't edit this thing. Just tell him. If you don't even speak, he knows your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. He just spoke to him plainly. Don't begin to make a religious thing before God. I think he didn't know what you need. The Bible even said that before you even ask, you know the thing that you have need of. Praise the Lord. Your faith will grow. You make you come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Not even come beggarly. Praise the Lord. That is not holiness. If you are really a Christian, you know you're right. You come boldly to the throne of God. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see right there, and so he made this prayer and so forth. As he was nearing, he heard about Esau coming with 400 men of war, right? So we had all these things. So let's see. And here is the prayer he made in Genesis 32 verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will do well with thee. What important thing is this? Don't make a move until you hear from God, amen? Because every move you make for God will be a test, amen? So if you don't hear him properly, then you need to shake it. You have a shaky mind when the test come, right? So now you could now plead before God, Lord, you told me to now move from Allah back to Canaan, right? But pleading is caught with God, right? Anyway, so let's keep on seeing what he says. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. See? He prayed, you guys give me bread and clothes and something like that, you know? So praise God. God answered the prayer. With only my rod, now I come with two bands, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Watch now, the heel casher and the guy that's ready to give now, amen? He has been changed, praise the Lord. He's now a giver. Why? Because he become a giver now, from grabber to a giver. Praise the Lord. That's what you get when you work with God, right? You become a giver. Anyway, and deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for fear of him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother will cheat them. He was just praying, you know, with God, right? Just told that he's supposed to be and so on, you know. That's what God wanted. Doesn't want to be justice and so on like that, you know. Be frank, you know. You humble yourself before the law, but you see plainly to him. That's what he wanted. Praise the Lord. Again, he didn't even try to couch his prayer in religious language that many people will do today and so on, you know, and or false faith or super piety. No, he didn't do that. He just told that it is and so on. Well, he showed that he was afraid, amen?
Yes.
David said, when I'm afraid, right?
Yes.
I will call upon the Lord, amen?
Yes.
Even the king of Israel said, I can be afraid. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, anyway, so but the thing is this. He hasn't given the spirit of bondage to fear again, really, you know?
Yes.
But it comes to everybody, but when you hear the word of God, David said, I'm afraid, I will call upon the name of the Lord, amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Anyway, yes. So we see. So, and, so, anyway, so, and, Jacob feared so much that he divided his family into two branches. Amen. He was ready for anything now. You know, I told that, you know. And and sent streams of gifts now to his brother Esau, right? He's now a giver, right? You know, I don't know, guy has to grab anything anymore and so that, you know. You know the story, I will call it Soladia. But the evidence of God's supernatural eyesight in Jacob's life was that as much as he feared the death he was having, he was going to face with Esau, he did not turn back, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He did not turn back, and so he didn't need to run back. Oh my God, 400 men of war coming against me, how many of us here, you know? He didn't turn back. He stayed put. He went into prayer, amen?
Mm-hmm.
You know he has heard from God. That is it. Now you are working with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you spend time with him, right? Then you listen to him, right? Then you obey him. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and all these things, you know, he lay before the Lord and so on. And so on, you know, he didn't turn back. You know, so God had told him to go back to the land of his father. And Jacob had made a vow to God to be his servant. So as much as he feared, he knew enough about God to determine that even if it costed him his life, he would not disobey the living God, amen?
Amen.
Who had blessed him so much and made such incredible promises to him. So, you know, he made up his mind that you know, disobey God, no matter what said and said that, you know, this is one of the most powerful aspects of supernatural eyesight. Sticking to what God has told you, even when everything to the natural seems to suggest disaster on its way, amen? God has spoken, God says so, and that is final, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No matter, like I said, no matter what, that's a test. to everything that, I mean, we are all tested as God's children. There will be a test, but when you hold your own, hold it to the promise, you will pass through it, and God is always with us in all our tests and tribulations. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 24 of Genesis 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And look at this verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And here what Jacob said, and he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have had here many times and so on, that subject and so on, that you know. I won't let you go and so on. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, no more the Gilgaba, not anymore. See? But Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? That encounter, when it was going out 20 years earlier, changed him completely. Amen. Begin to walk with God from that on. I mean, look at what he did in the Vance house and so on, you know, you know. Begin to walk with God and look at what he did for him and so on, you know. And 39 verse. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him right there. The request was granted. I won't let you go unless you bless me, right? And it was granted right there. Praise the Lord. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Amen. So that discusses all. God attached to Abraham in Theophany. Amen. As walking with God. Here is Theophany. Here again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says, so I don't, there's no argument about this one, right? It is so clear. I have seen God face to face, right? My life is preserved. Praise God. So by this, by walking with God, Jacob discerned that he wasn't wrestling with an ordinary man at all, but with God. So he not only said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Even the prophet Hosea brought it out. In Hosea, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. Talking of Israel, He took his brother by the heel in the womb. And by his strength, he had power with God. Amen?
Amen.
It was God that had appeared to him. Praise God. The Bible cannot lie. It's consistent throughout, you know. People will take the Bible out of context, or they take one verse. Oh, it contradicts itself. No, because you are the heir, not knowing the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus told them. Not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. Anyway. He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just another thing to add to it. Even the prophets remember it, you know, and so on. You see, talking about, you know. So we see that right there. This is an incredible turning point in Jacob's life. He got a name, Bill Kasha, because he lost the wrestling match in his mother's womb. But now he lost the name Hikasha because he wrestled with God and he was made a prince. Amen?
Amen.
God made him a prince and so on, and was given power even with God and with men, and he prevailed. So instead of the Hikasha, Jacob became Israel, which means prince with God, right? Because he walked with God, right? And that's what happened when you walk with God and so on. Transformation of Jacob to Israel was complete. The transformation was a type all Christians go through. Meaning from sinner to saint, amen? Praise the Lord, sinner to saint. And not by the power of our own abilities, no. But by the grace of God, who desire to have an intimate relationship with you and I. That's what he wants. That the Christians today, he had gone from a hill gatherer to a man who will rule at, you know, with God and so on. We are told in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we shall reign with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. So, and much as Jacob, we along this way must develop our spiritual insight into God's word and his nature that is based upon our walking with him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Walking with the Lord and so on, that, you know. Let me get one more quickly if I can. You know, the last, actually, I'm going to get two more, and that is the end of this series. Otherwise, I'll go through all the book of Hebrews and then go and be preaching for each of them. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, Joseph was the favorite son of the favorite wife of Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. The favorite son of the favorite wife of Israel. You know how we talk about Rachel and Leah and something like that. You know, praise the Lord. Nevertheless, he spent time, we believe, with his father, meaning Joseph and so on, gaining valuable insight. He was born a prophet, amen? He was just born that way. Praise the Lord. I mean, some are just born prophet. That's what you can do about it. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew about you, right? To make you a prophet to the nations, amen? Nothing you could do about it. Praise the Lord. Even Moses and so, you can name all of them and some of that, you know? So he spent time, we believe, with his father, gaining valuable insight into his father's relationship with God and into God's character. His brothers, you know the story, however, resented him. And we all know the familiar story. They sold him into slavery on a caravan headed for Egypt, right? And Joseph had a tremendous insight into God's character. He just born that way, predestinated again. Praise the Lord. He just born that way. That insight guided him to the top place in the world's most powerful nation. Amen? You know, Egypt, at that time, Egypt was the most powerful nation. Where there are six empires, Egypt was the first one. Then you had the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, then you had the Medo-Persian Empire, then you had the Grecian Empire, and then Rome. Then the last of all, the Antichrist system. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. On top of it all, you know, the dream, the kingdom of God will destroy all these Gentile nations at the end of time. And the kingdom of God shall remain here forever. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he became, you know, from where he was, became the most powerful man in the greatest empire of the world in that time. It was a... Anyway, so we see that, you know, the city of Joseph and so on. Quickly run over this one. Anyway, so... So he ended up, his first assignment as in Egypt was with a man called Potiphar and so on, in Egypt and so on. He ended up being in charge of all of Potiphar's affairs, you know, to the point that even the Bible tells us in Genesis 39 verse 6, and many Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, see? And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, he just was born that way to be walking with God, right? Predestination and so on. Walking with God and so on, that, you know. But let us see the life he lived and so on as he walked with God here. The story is painfully familiar. You know, as we know, Potiphar's wife, who was attracted by Joseph, and so on that, you know, to have an illicit affair with her, you know, in the Bible and so on that, you know. Joseph immediately demonstrated a supernatural understanding that will only increase over time. What was it? Genesis 39 verse 8. But he refused, you know, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master, what is not what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. Verse 9. There is no greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me, but thee, telling the Potiphar's wife, as soon as you know, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What working with God this is, right? You could have just done this and just covered his body on the floor, not Joseph, working with God. You know, so anyway, so what was it that, you know, we found out by this man? Joseph understood that the sin he will commit by committing adultery with Potiphar's wife will be a sin against God above all, not even so much with Potiphar, amen?
Praise the Lord.
The fear of God, because he's working with God, right? See, you know, and so on, you know. So anyway, so he says, how can I sin against God? So anyway, so about his concern was for Potiphar in the immediate, but his ultimate concern was that it would damage his relationship with God on the long run. Amen. Mm-hmm. When you are working with God, you do not want to do anything that will damage that relationship. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Those who are working with God, they will take that care. You know, they are very careful and things like that. You know, not to damage that, not to break that fellowship with God. You want to even seek deeper working with him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, like Apostle Paul, oh, that no matter how many miracles I have done, no matter how many demons I've cast out, you know, I'm coming out to know that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we see right there, all that work with God are just like that and so on. That is what the Bible wants to continue to work with God, you know, in our life and so on like that, you know. So and anyway, in the midst of probably this second most stressful moment in Joseph's life, Joseph was not thinking of the physical consequences of action. He was thinking first of God and how it will affect his relationship with God. Joseph, who was later, you know, thrown into the prison after the, you know, the woman falsely accused him and so on, that's what happened to him, paraphrasing so many chapters in the book of Genesis in India, advances and so forth, continue to grow in supernatural, even in prison, eh? Still working with God, right? Mm-hmm. No complaint, right? Oh, maybe today, but I haven't done anything wrong. Why did this happen to me? No, not Joseph, amen? Mm-hmm. When you have to work with God, there's no complaining, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No complaining, you have to work with God. There's no complaining, no matter what. Paul, none of these things moved me, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. None of these things moved me and so on, that, you know, Job and so on. Anyway, so praise the Lord. So, and so we say earlier, no matter what you are going to do, just working with God, don't let anything move you and so on, that, you know. So, and anyway, so let me see here. So in the prison, his relationship with God was so profound that the warden put him over the entire prison, which is a testament to the blessings of God that were upon Joseph's life. Can you imagine? How can this man have trusted a slave that was now brought to a prison and so on? Knowing that if anything go wrong in that prison, he will be in trouble, right? But I mean, God's power was upon Joseph. This man didn't even think any of those things. He put a slave boy or a man. He left him at 17, right? And all that, you know? Anyway, put him upon the people in the prison and so on. That, you know, he trusted him and so on because of God's blessing, even in prison and so forth. And that, you know, and you know what? All things work together for good to them that love God, right?
Mm.
In his quietness and just, you know, they love me in the prison and so on. Let me quickly shorten this one so we can finish in the time. Anyway, so we see. So it happened that in that prison and so on, you know, Joseph was assigned to care for the two high-level prisoners that was with him. You know, they were Pharaoh's prisoners and so on. One was a baker to him, you know, and so on, that, you know, the baker to Pharaoh and so on. And the other one was, you know, the cupbearer or whatever it is and so on. They had done something to the Pharaoh. So they were in prison and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so both men had a dream. And they came to Joseph because they were upset, you know, by the dreams and so forth that they had. Joseph demonstrated that he had a powerful insight into the nature of the spirit realm by his response to these two called Biala, and the Deacon and so on. In Genesis 40 verse 8, let's see what happened there. Start to run out of time here. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Now hear what Joseph said, the man that walked with God, right? And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Oh, praise the Lord. Tell me then, I pray you. That is a loaded thing, right? Joseph understood that God alone can give interpretation, amen? At the same time now, he also knew that he as God's servant, working with God, has a direct connection to God, amen? Praise the Lord. And that does the supernatural eyesight to see the interpretation of the dream was given to him. Praise the Lord. God was working with God, was confident in God. So you are not to the Bible says in John 15, the Bible preaching there ahead of time. I'm the true vine. Ye are the branches, amen. Praise the Lord. Without him you can do nothing. Amen. I wish all Christians begin to know this, right? You can do nothing. And as the branches, we are the one that bear the fruit, amen? The trunk doesn't bear the fruit. You and I, are the one that the branches, we bear the fruit, praise the Lord. For the natural, then the spiritual, praise the Lord. Only God can tap into him, but he was one with God, amen? Because he was walking with God, God will show it to him. So I'm saying that if we are to go through the book of Hebrews, then we won't live here. Daniel had the same kind of experience, right? Adam had walked with God, right? Praise the Lord. So let's leave that one alone. Let's leave that. So the baker and the cupbearer told Joseph their dreams and so on like that, and he interpreted them. To the cupbearer, Joseph interpreted the dream as good. He will be restored. To the baker, Joseph interpreted the dream as bad. He will be hanged. So the interpretation came, of course, true. Demonstrating that Joseph had incredible, insight into the spiritual realm. So we see, this smaller, call it a smaller thing, this smaller test of his ability to hear from God, from God, will soon be tested by an exponentially more significant process. Even Pharaoh himself, amen? Praise the Lord. One blessing leads to the other and so on. He didn't get anything from those other two people that said, he wasn't even looking for any man's gift anyway. But here what happened, the story. So the ruler of the most powerful nation at that time and so on, So 2 years later, Joseph was still in the prison and so on, and Pharaoh had his own famous dream. Genesis 41:1, quickly. And it came to pass at the end of 2 years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the middle. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, and lean flesh, and stood by the other kind, and stood by the other kind, and upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean flesh kind did eat of the 7 well-favored and and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept again and dreamt the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon the stalk, and stalk rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. I know you all know this story. Sometimes I just like to read it, as maybe people may not be familiar with the story, so we can't do any evil by reading the word of God, amen? Praise the Lord. Take some time, I know that. So Pharaoh called, of course, his magicians and you know, and so-called wise men and so on. But none of them were able to interpret that dream and so on. Then the cupbearer, you know, 2 years later, right, earlier, the cupbearer, you know, remember Joseph from 2 years ago, and they recommended him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh told Joseph what dream he had and so on, and that he had heard that Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. Joseph, of course, who clearly understood God's principles based upon his supernatural understanding, was quick to give to correct the king in verse 16 of Genesis 41. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Amen. When you walk with God, you give him all the credit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like John 15:5, apart from him, we can do nothing. Praise the Lord. See? Yeah. Give God the glory right there and so on. Pharaoh repeated his dream before Joseph and so on. And, of course, you know, Joseph told him, I interpreted the dream. You know the outcome. That means going to read that one. You know, if there will be seven years of bountiful harvest in the land and so forth. And you're going to be by 7 years of severe famine, you know. That's exactly what the interpretation saw. So this is a demonstration of another aspect of supernatural, you know, either working with God. See? The more you dig deeper into the depth of God, the clearer your sight of him will be. And the closer you get to God, the more you will seek to bring praise to him, amen? Not to yourself, not to myself. We have seen that pattern in all the one we talk about in these two series and so forth, this series of working with God and so forth, the same thing old. In the finishing of last thing, I want to say Abraham, you know, refused to be blessed by man and risk making man to take credit for what God has done. Jacob refused to be blessed by man and risk giving credit to man what belongs to God. Joseph refused to take credit for the actions God is doing in his life. So these three men, and Noah himself, that we did in this series, all had a secret. What was it? That is not really very a secret, really. It comes right down to this. What is it? Sin in the supernatural must come as a result of spending time with God. Walking with God, spending time with him, making yourself available to God and obeying him. Praise the Lord. Praise to the Lord Jesus. I know I have overrun the time and so on. Let me give a quick testimony here to finish it. So I'm talking about spending time with God and so forth. Everywhere I ever went to work, you know, so don't say we all are giving 24 hours a day, amen? Amen. Nobody is giving 25 hours a day, amen? Amen. So, praise the Lord. So don't say I don't have time. You all have time, 24 hours, everybody, amen? Amen. So I'm spending time with God. Everywhere I go to work, I always take my lunch time to go and pray somewhere. Everywhere I ever worked. Praise the Lord. I will be by walking and so on. I have to think of one incident, you know. I was working as a contractor in one of the big companies here in the valley. I was on a 6-month contract. Praise the Lord. So I think I get the job done before the 6 months. I was just kind of hanging around to help them support what I was doing. And I think about the 6 months. So then I had an interview, somewhere outside the state. And the people have warned me that if you go for this interview, make sure when they hire you, you don't refuse it. I have never gone to work outside Arizona before. So I had an interview and then they now selected me. I had to go to Kansas City, you know. So during my lunch, I went to my lunch, my prayer time. I said, "Lord, I don't want to go outside of this place." And these people have warned me that if I won't take the job, don't interview. I said, "Lord, please help me to just have to cancel this thing." So during my prayer time, right? You know, I always do that by the grace of God, not because of anything I do. Trust God. When I now come back for my lunch, for my praying point, What I got when I got to the office, they said your contract is ending. The one I was working on. Suppose I didn't go to that prayer meeting and go and spend time with God. I would have called and rejected that position. It turned out to be one of the best, most prosperous things I ever had in my career. It was about 18 months in Kansas City, commuting back and forth. Talking about Abraham in Genesis 18, right? He had time with God, right? It was when he was at the midday. That's what I'm even saying there. At mid, Abraham was at the tent door, relaxing and so on that, you know, when God, in company of two angels, come to him. He had time, he spent time with God, right? You see what I'm saying? No matter what you are doing, spend time with God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't carry everything upon your head. If you're not in that job, somebody else can be there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Find time with God. You can never do it as with God. You know? Mm-hmm. So even your, it could be your lunch time and so on, that, you know, we all have 24 hours, I think. Just a short testimony to the glory of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, Lord. The entrance to your word giveth life. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible says, because you follow me and it is the word, you will never walk in darkness. That was what it says in his word. Lord, we thank you this morning. As we go back home and meditate upon these things, Lord, help us, O Lord God, to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
Help us to learn to listen to the Lord.
Amen.
Help us to also listen, to learn to also obey the Lord.
Amen.
Obedience and sacrifice. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And also we thank you this morning for blessing us in your word.
Amen.
I commit all the need we may have here this morning to your hand, Lord. The Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider.
Amen.
Bible says, you know, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen.
That is the will of God. Our God shall supply all our need, not some of it now, all our need according to his riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the thing we have need of before we even ask you. So he that shall be has knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. He even makes intercession for us. So grant all these unspoken requests that you know all about in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we receive now. If you ask the Father anything in my name, it shall be given unto you. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given thee. So I have asked this morning, now for all our needs represented here this morning, grant them, Father.
Amen.
And I ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God.